Hey there, hi there, ho there, Red Raider fans. You are listening to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with Albie Shore. How'd you like that intro, Dylan?
I honestly don't know what to think about that intro. Like, I was just thinking, like, what am I going to do with that? And I'm just not going to do anything with it. So there you go. Back to you.
Well, that was Dylan Smythe, who's on with me. And Dylan, we got some Oklahoma work happening this Saturday. What do you think about the matchup with Kyler Murray, Lincoln Riley and company versus Alan Bowman, Cliff Kingsbury and company?
I'm just going to go ahead and get this reference out of the way because it's going to come up. I expect this game to be a lot like the game in 2016, the Baker Mayfield Patrick Mahomes showdown. I expect to see some points, not as many points as were scored in that game, obviously, but I expect a similar style of game in Lubbock come Saturday night.
I actually highly disagree. So I made the mistake last week of thinking it was going to be a high scoring game against Iowa State, and it kind of was. 40-31 is a pretty decent output. But the difference is that one, we kind of talked about it last week. Iowa State, a lot of those points were based on stupid penalties, and for Tech, two touchdowns were from defense and special teams. I actually think this week you're going to see a lot. You're not going to see as much offense as that at all. This week, I think the game is going to kind of be in the 20s and 30s. And you're going to kind of see the Tech defense try to lead us in this win while the Tech offense tries not to screw us.
So you're telling me the number one and number two offenses in the Big 12 are going to not have big games?
Yeah, I truly do believe that. Look.
Okay.
Oklahoma looked really good last week. And who did Oklahoma play?
Who did Oklahoma?
The answer is Kansas
State. They played Kansas State. Yeah, that's right. Nobody's.
They played Kansas State. That's why they look so good. All right? My thing here, as far as offensively, my thing is that I do think that Kyler Murray is a gem of a player. I really do. But this Tech defense actually did a really good job when it comes to mobile quarterbacks. I mean, even Brock Purdy – I'm not saying that Brock Purdy didn't, you know, have a good game last week, but he's had better games. You know, defense was able to stop him at times and actually was even able to get a fumble in the end zone on Brock Purdy. The other guys, Derek King is not looking like a Heisman quarterback. You know, Derek King's worst game, his worst half was that second half against Tech. We've done a decent job against dual threat quarterbacks this year, and I do think that Tech's defense can force Kyler Murray to one of his worst outings of the season.
This you've just taken me by surprise because I expected to be the one with optimism going into this game and you being the one that just been like, shut up, Dylan, you ignorant slut, we're going to lose. But the roles have been reversed. However, I don't think we're going to win this game, but I think there are reasons to be optimistic that we have a chance. I'm saying there's a chance is what I'm saying. There's reasons to be optimistic, like you said. Teams have slowed down Kyler Murray. Oklahoma does not look invincible by any means. But there are some position matchups that are scary to me going into this game.
Yeah, those position matchups are Oklahoma's receiver versus our secondary.
Yeah, that's the one. that's the one.
That's it. I mean, Hollywood Brown. And that's the thing is that if Hollywood Brown is Hollywood Brown and we make him just look like Hollywood Brown, we're going to get blown out of the water. Because I don't think that we – and I know Oklahoma's defense has looked crappy in the Mike Stoops era. They're not as bad the last 2 weeks as they've been before. And so I just don't think we can – I think playing the points game isn't going to work well. We don't have Patrick Mahomes like we did 2 years ago. And now Alan Bowman's not – I don't think he's as bad as Nick Schimmick. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he looked last week. But at the same time, I think putting that much pressure on Alan Bowman to – put up those type of numbers isn't good. We have to get stops, and it has to be a game to where whoever has more stops wins, because that's the game that I think plays in our favor.
And I'll say I'm less worried about Kyler Murray. I'm more worried about CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown, because our secondary's been torched by good receiving corps before, and this might be the best one we play all year.
That's true, but I mean, I'd say the secondary is the most improved group this year. You know, we have a guy that was a midseason All-American in Adrian Fry. Douglas Coleman, who we crapped on earlier in the year, has definitely improved throughout the season.
We saw some Justice Parker signing last week.
Yeah, now actually, I was about to say Justice Parker's actually since I'd say the Oklahoma State game, the first about three games, Justice Parker was like, "Where the hell are you?" Since that Oklahoma State game, Justice Parker, he's actually, I think he's one of the top safeties in the nation when it comes to passer rating against. He's not doing the turnovers like he was doing last year, but now he's just locking players down, like don't throw this way, basically. And so the secondary, I'd say, is the most improved unit. So I'll say this: I agree that if Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb have their way, that we're done for. But I actually think we have the secondary to make sure they don't necessarily have their way.
I think we're improved in the secondary, but I don't know if we're up to the task of guarding those two. Not to mention, you still have to respect Kyler Murray.
That's true. It's going to be a tall task. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely going to be a tall task. But I will say this. I'm still very high on West Virginia's receivers. And in the second half of that West Virginia game, we were up to the task. Second half of the West Virginia game, the secondary came and kind of locked down West Virginia. Actually, I'd say the whole game, David Sills wasn't really there to be found that entire game. Now, the other receiver whose name escaped my mind, he kind of was able to eat for the majority of the first half. But the second half, he also went quiet. So I would say this. I will say that we have kind of seen the talent level that Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb possessed before this year. Because I think West Virginia's receivers are right where Oklahoma's receivers are. Even if you think Oklahoma's receivers are better than West Virginia's, it's not by much.
Yeah, so I'd agree with that.
So I would say that the confidence you have from the fact that you were able to really hold them in the second half of the West Virginia game, you can carry that confidence over to the Oklahoma game.
And I think probably I'm kind of back and forth in this game. I know it's going to come down to, you know, a last possession, a last stop, a field goal. It's going to be tight. But I think something that could really give Texas Tech an edge is, A, it's a home game, but it's a night game in Lubbock. We haven't seen a night game in Lubbock in a while. And the last night game I went to in Lubbock was electric. I think it was, I can't remember what year it was, but it was TCU. It had to have been 2012, 2013 maybe.
Night game against TC, you know, that would have had to be the Davis Webb game.
Yeah, that's the one. Davis Webb came in and clutched it for us.
2013.
Yeah,
where we stupidly rushed the field. I still hate that.
That atmosphere, though, that atmosphere in that stadium. If we could replicate something like that, which I think we will, have we had a primetime night game in Lubbock like that since then?
Oklahoma, 2016.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Come on now,
duh. I already
put
yeah.
Dummy.
I don't.
But no, I agree that you're right. And historically, Clemson's actually come to play in night games. Now, we haven't always won them all, but it's really been exciting, and it's always been something. I mean, remember the last night game this team has played was the Texas game in Austin, and that was a road game. So actually, not to mention, actually, the last night game we played was technically the game in Stillwater, where we also won. So. Cliff is as bad as he's been in morning games. He does his team does show up to play in night games. I do listen. If this game was in Stillwater, I'd say we have zero chance. It being a night game in Lubbock is what brings it to a head. It's what makes this upset that much more possible. I personally don't. Oklahoma has two games remaining on their schedule that could cause them a chance at the college football playoff. Well, three if you count the Big 12 championship game. But in the regular season schedule, they have two. One is their final game in Morgantown against West Virginia, which hopefully ESPN makes a national televised game or night game, because that would be insane. And then the other one is this one. Tech's going to be crazy because Tech always goes crazy whenever we play Oklahoma. And it's a night game. And it's a blackout. And we're going to be wearing black. It's going to be absolutely crazy. And that is what I think brings it to a close matchup. Now, I'll give you my prediction later of what I think is going to happen, but I think all everything sets up. The fact that Tech wants to right the wrong of last week, the fact that Oklahoma is right now going to kind of be lulled a little bit, the fact that it's in Lubbock, the fact that it's a night game, the fact that, you know, so many variables are in Tech's favor that, man, it really sets up for a big upset this weekend.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, I don't know whether or not we're going to win this game, but I do know we're going to be in it, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be fun football to watch.
So the big question for this game is, will Alan Bowman be ready to play after the disastrous game last week? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he bounces back. I think he'll be fine. I'm really not worried about Alan Bowman at all. Like, I have far bigger questions in this game than will Alan Bowman respond. I think he's been, you know, he started a few games. Yes, he is a freshman, but you have to remember, like, he's been on campus for a long time. He's got conference games under his belt. I'm really not worried. I think it's something to watch for because we haven't seen Alan Bowman just have a flat-out bad game. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds, but I'm really not worried about it in the grand scheme of things.
So I'm not, and I am. A part of me, the only thing about this game is that Oklahoma may have found the recipe. Or not Oklahoma, Iowa State. Iowa State may have found the recipe, and that's kind of what I'm worried about. They confused the hell out of Alan Bowman, and he looked confused. If you remember a few pods ago, I was talking about how composed Bowman always looked and how he never let plays affect him and things like that. He looked affected for the first time all season. He looked absolutely affected. And that worries me. And so now I'm worrying, okay, if I'm Ruffin McNeil, if I'm Oklahoma's defense, I don't watch any other film, but last week's film with Iowa State. What they did successfully. What are the things? How do they make him confused? Because in that fourth quarter, he was confused. No doubt about it. The entire fourth quarter, he was confused. Everything about what he was doing was confusing. Even simple screenplays. Hell, the safety was on a screenplay. He was confused. And so that's what has me a little worried about this game is that now the playbook on how to defeat Alan Bowman? Or is it the fact that we just played what might be the best defense in the Big 12? And I know before I said they were the third best. No, I take it back. They're the best defense in the Big 12. And Oklahoma just can't keep up.
Here's my take on that. I think it's no secret we talked about it. They fired their defensive coordinator 2 weeks ago, and they've improved. But every time a team fires a coordinator, the next week you hear them say, we're going to simplify things. We're going to go back to the basics. We're going to keep things simple. So Iowa State's defense is not simple by any means. They'll put seven guys in the box and they're going to bring five. And you have no idea who those five are. They'll drop a D tackle in a zone if they really want to. And I don't know if that's something that Oklahoma is ready to pull off against us. Coming off, you know, having a new coach in the picture. I know it's been a few weeks, but having a new coach in the picture, I think that defense is really complicated to pull off.
And you're right. I actually think you're right. This is going to be the best offense that they're going to see, that Oklahoma's going to see since Texas. And it's a better offense than Texas. And the question, and I agree with you in the fact that how much has Ruffin McNeil's defense improved? Now they've looked decent, but it's very easy to look decent against K-State. How much have they improved? So, because if this was Mike Stoops' defense, then I'd agree with you. I'd say, man, this is going to be a shootout, and hopefully our defense makes a few stops. It's definitely going to be a win. But it's not Mike Stoops' defense. They have looked better, but just how much better are they? They're talented, no doubt about that. And that's the thing is that you always got to be worried that because they're a talented team, this is the thing I've always said with Texas is that they're talented. So even when they look their worst, there could be that one game where their talent decides to show up, to step up. And so is this that's why I'm saying now you have a talented team with a smart coordinator. Is it going to mesh together?
And that's a good point. This is the week we find out whether Ruffin McNeil has improved that defense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, and a part of me says yes. At the same time, I kind of have to contradict myself in a little bit because we have a habit of pumping up former Red Raiders and former Red Raider coaches. And I, around Tech, and me personally, I fall victim to this too, is that I just feel like Ruffin McNeil is a defensive god. Like, he is just the when it comes to defense, Nick Saban ain't got nothing on Ruffin McNeil because of the success that he had making Tech defense one of the best. I mean, in 08, we were one of the better defenses in the Big 12, which is crazy to say. And it was crazy to say during the Mike Leach years. We just weren't a defensive team. For a good part of a decade or two. But Ruffin McNeil was able to do it. And then he was able to go and transfer that over to East Carolina. And so because of that, you know, we kind of put a lot of Ruffin McNeil. But one thing that I had to check myself looking at the other day is I looked at how long it took Ruffin McNeil to get this defense to be great. Ruffin McNeil's first year as the defensive coordinator at Tech wasn't that great. His first year was in 06. And 06 or 07, I'm trying to remember. I believe it was in 06. and it wasn't that great. Now, it was better than the year before, but it's not like just with the snap of a finger we were better. It took a while for his defense to get where he wanted him to be. And though I think Oklahoma's defense will be much improved because you can't get much worse than what they had with Mike Stoops, it is going to take a while for Ruffy McNeil, and so that kind of plays to our advantage now.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to like my confidence in them not being able to pull off like an Iowa State type defense. But I also have a lot of respect for Ruffin McNeil. And I totally forgot where I was going with this, so I'm going to pretend. I don't even know. No, I can't even save that one. Oof.
Yeah, that was bad. But
we have fun.
I will say, we were talking about Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb, but at the same time, Oklahoma secondary, who has been susceptible to a lot of big plays, also have to deal with TJ Vasher and Antoine Wesley. And so, that in itself is going to be tough for them to deal with. Antoine Wesley has consistently had good games all year long. And so now the question is, if TJ Vasher can match Antoine Wesley's production this weekend, Oklahoma has just as much problems as we do.
Yeah, because their secondary is not good either. They're really not great defensively. They haven't been this year, and that's why I think one of the reasons why I think we're going to be in this game come the end of the fourth quarter.
Now, the linebacking crew has, though. And Oklahoma consistently does have pretty decent linebackers, which has me a little bit worried for the running game. But at the same time, our O-line's been kind of beast, and if we consistently get to the linebacker, that's a good 5 yards per play. Running wise. So I think one thing the Tech is going to have to do is I know we kind of had the advantage when it comes to the passing game because our receivers are better than the secondary. I still want us to open up the run much better. And I do think that no matter what talent that Oklahoma has on defense, they're not better than Iowa State's run defense. Our Iowa State's run defense, they smushed us all game. I don't see Oklahoma doing that. If we can use the run, I want Kingsbury to kind of go back to what he's been doing previously this year. Use the running game to set up the pass. This will be the game he should be able to do that a lot better. If Tazon Henry, if De'Leon Ward, if Trey King, if those guys can really hit the hole and get 4 yards of carry, 5 yards of carry, that's just going to open things up for Wesley, Vasher, Jadeon High. I could see him having a big game in this matchup.
You know, there's a piece of me that doesn't think Oklahoma's rush defense is very good, but if you look at last week, they held Alex Barnes as the leading rusher in the Big 12. He's the only decent player on Kansas State's team. They held him to 11 carries for 23 yards.
All right, here's the thing. Alex Barnes sucks. Okay. I know he's the leading rusher in the Big 12. I get that. You wonder why he's the leading rusher in the Big 12?
Because he's the only decent player on that team.
Yeah, he's the only, I mean, most teams, well, we have 5 running backs this year. K-State, they have him, and they have Skylar Thompson, their quarterback, and that's it. That's the reason why he's the leading rusher in the Big 12. He's good.
Bill Snyder's go-to play call this year. Shit, I don't know, just hand it to Alex. It's fine.
Yeah, he's not even the best, Alex Barnes isn't even the best running back in Kansas, okay? I do think their Oklahoma defense is better, but I mean, if Mike Stoops was there, they would have just held Alex Barnes to 50 yards rushing instead of 22. I mean, that's kind of how I look at that. I really don't think that Oklahoma. I mean, again, I'll use Texas as an example. Texas was able to run all up and down Oklahoma, and I know this is a different coordinator and everything like that, but Texas had a lot of success running the ball. I mean, Sam Ehlinger looked like freaking Cam Newton against the Oklahoma defense. So now I don't think Alan Bowman's going to run the ball. I will say this. Oklahoma's going to be the perfect team to do the patented keep on a read option with Alan Bowman. They are going to be the perfect team to do it. If you remember back in the day, Taylor Potts did it, went for like a 50-yard run against I think it was against Texas, if I'm not mistaken, or against somebody big. Taylor Potts was able to bust off a huge run. Nick Schimmick did the same thing because these tall white guys nobody expects could run like that. Just keep. For the first time all year, I could see Bowman easily doing that and busting off a big gain against his Oklahoma defense.
Says the guy who's terrified to watch Bowman even try and move in the pocket.
Yeah, no, this is not moving in the pocket. This is just him running.
I know.
I'm terrified to see him sprint. But if it's a designed run, sure, go for it. You can't look any worse than Taylor Cornelius.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Watching Taylor Cornelius run against Texas was the most anticlimactic thing ever.
I still can't believe I fell asleep during that football game.
I got boring at the end. No blame on you. but that's a nice little segue. We can get to our Big 12 games of the week. Are you ready, Mr. Smythe?
Let's do this.
All right. So first game, we have these suckers playing at 11 a.m. Ha ha, scrubs. We have the game nobody cares about, Oklahoma State. Looks like they may have had their swagger back after a nice win over Texas. They play on the road at Baylor, who got mollywopped by West Virginia last week. Who wins this game?
Yeah, Oklahoma State did look like they kind of gained some swagger back. I mean, they beat Texas, so that was super impressive for them. Baylor is hot garbage. I don't expect them to put up much of a fight in this game. It might be closer than maybe some people would think. But I think ultimately Oklahoma State wins this game, gets another win. Doesn't really bounce back because I think this is one of the few wins left on their schedule. But Oklahoma State wins, let's call it 38-17.
Oh, that's a good prediction. I actually probably going to stick the same way. Look, if you read my power rankings that I put out Friday, Charlie Brewer went 1-for-8 in 3 interceptions before he got pulled. 1-for-8. This, mind you, somebody did just recently say that he was, I think, the 5th best quarterback in the Big 12. Ahead of ahead of any Red Raiders. But he went 1-for-8. Yeah, that's right. As bad as we talked about Bowman looking against Iowa State, Charlie Brewer looked that bad against West Virginia's defense, who is maybe a top five. I don't even know if they're top five defense in the Big 12. Like, we went 1-for-8. All right? The guy's not good, okay? I'm off of it. Charlie Brewer, I'm sorry. You're trying. And then not only that, I know it's a home game for Baylor. Even in Baylor's heyday, they don't have home advantage, okay? A home game against Baylor is like, I don't know, they might as well go to the golf course and grab that crowd. Golf course following Tiger Woods is louder than a home game at Baylor, okay? So it doesn't mean anything. I like that prediction, 38-17. I'm going to steal it from you.
Wow, we agree.
Yeah.
You hear that, everybody? I'm right. Get used to it.
I don't know about that one. Some more suckers that have to play at 11 a.m. We have the 24th ranked Iowa State Cyclones on the road to play the team that really should be ranked, if we're being real. They're one of the top 25 best teams in the country, the Kansas Jayhawks.
The Fighting Puka Williamses.
The Fighting Puka Williamses. Who wins this game?
Not the Fighting Puka Williamses. This is going to be Brock Purdy's. He's going to be Conference Player of the Week coming out of this game. I expect Brock Purdy to tear Kansas apart. Puka Williams will have a good game, but it will not be enough to stop the Jayhawks. Not be enough to stop the Cyclones. I expect the Cyclones to really shut down Kansas. Kansas might score 6 points in this game. It's going to be like 33-6.
Man, I really don't want to do this. I'm actually probably going to agree with that again. It's a good analysis. So TCU actually did a good job of limiting Puka's runs. Puka only had, I think, like a little over 30 yards in the game against TCU. So what he did is he went out and got 100 yards receiving. That's what he does. He's a beast. Guess what? Iowa State's defense is so good that they'll probably smush Puka in the run and the pass. Or they'll just kill Peyton Bender. So there's that, too. Kansas, the only reason Kansas can even stay close in games getting turnovers, Iowa State's probably one of the best teams in the conference at not turning the ball over. So something's got to give, and it's going to give a lot Iowa State's way. I miss the days when this was a battle for who the worst team in the conference is. Kansas is still fighting for that mark. Iowa State has now moved their way up to the upper echelon. Matt Campbell gets another notch in their belt. They don't embarrass Kansas like they should because they're noble. But they win, 33-6. It's a good prediction.
The battle for worst team in the conference lies somewhere in Kansas.
Yeah, that Kansas K-State game, man, it's going to be a fun one.
That's the toilet bowl.
For sure, for sure. All right, next up, we have – these guys aren't as much suckers because they're not playing an 11 a.m. game, but they still trash. The aforementioned Kansas State Wildcats at a team that just simply can't beat Kansas teams, which is the TCU Horned Frogs. Who you got?
Well, you alluded to it. They can't beat Kansas teams. TCU is reeling right now, and for some reason, I don't see that changing. I think – Kansas State just got beat down last week by Oklahoma, but I expect them to show up for this game, and I'm kind of calling upset alert for TCU. I don't know if you call it an upset alert, but I don't expect Kansas State to win. Or no, I do expect Kansas State to win, but I feel like they're probably not favored to win this game.
Oh, they're not favored to win at all. TCU, according to ESPN, TCU has a 78.6% chance of winning.
9-point favorites.
The spread is TCU -9. So that's kind of surprising. It's a little high. I think it's going to be a close game. TCU's going to win. Have they really hit this rock bottom? Like, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, come on, y'all this bad? Like,
if they lose this game, that's rock bottom.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Losing to Kansas is already rock bottom. But I think that if they lose this game, they suck. Like, it's not just they lost to Kansas, and, oh, man, they're just reeling right now. If they lose this game, they legitimately suck. You can't lose to Kansas and K-State back-to-back. You can't lose to arguably the two worst teams in the conference back-to-back weeks. If you do that, you are the worst team in the – like, you lose the two worst teams in the conference back-to-back weeks, you are the worst team in the conference. And there's really no – if ands or buts about it.
If they lose this game, is anyone on the hot seat?
Nah, they'll never fire Gary Patterson. I'm surprised they don't have a statue over there yet. But they're not. It doesn't matter what he
does. What about Sonny Cumbie?
Ooh. Now there's a spicy take. You'd have to imagine he kind of has to be, right?
Their offense has been miserable. Like, granted, I think half of it is John Robinson's fault. But even when they went to the new quarterback, they didn't get any better.
Yeah, no, Michael Collins sucks too. And so, and that's the thing is, and so you can blame it. Oh, well, you know, the quarterback. Here's the thing that I actually love about college football is that you can't spread the blame around. Like in the NFL, like right now, Hugh Jackson got fired from the Browns and he's going on a blaming tour. Like, oh, well, it's not my fault because, you know, the GMs wouldn't let me draft Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. You know, the players just sucked, you know. And in college, if the players suck, it's your fault because you recruited them. Right. If the quarterback sucks, it's your fault because you didn't develop him. You know, he was 18 when you got him. You should have developed him. So that's one thing I love about college. So if you're studying cover, you're like, ah, man, you know, my quarterbacks were bad. That's what it was. My O-line's bad. Well, aren't you the guy that's been recruiting if your quarterback sucks, you know, hell, I've been telling you from the get-go, I didn't like Sean Robinson in DeSoto. So if I didn't like him at DeSoto, you over here praising his name, everybody's talking about he's the next GOAT, and he sucks. That's on you, buddy.
Yeah, and like you said, you picked these players. You believed in these players. You thought they could develop, and, well, you were wrong. I would expect Sonny Cumbie to be on the hot seat, especially if they lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll be fired per se, but I do agree with you, man. That's because Gary Patterson ain't going nowhere. So whenever you got a guy that ain't going nowhere and your team's not doing too hot, who's the number two guy? Oh, yeah, that's Sonny Cumbie fella.
Well, and their defense isn't atrocious. It's their offense is the problem.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing about it is, and I talked about it in the power rings, it looks like the defense is kind of giving up on the season. Watching the Kansas game, I'm like, man, this is not the same defense that I thought all year was the best defense in the conference. This defense looks like they've given up on the team, and I don't think I've ever seen Gary Patterson team give up.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So how about K-State and TCU both come to the head and say the loser of this game, the offensive coordinator, must go?
It's fair. I mean, is Bill Snyder on the hot seat?
No, they just gave him a million-year extension.
Whoops.
I don't know why. Oops. I don't know why he was. I think they went like 7-5 last year, 6-6 or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. And they were like, boom, give the old guy an extension.
But weren't they trying to force him out just last year? I'm very confused. I'm very confused by this situation.
That's what I thought. Everybody was preparing for him to, but then he was like, no, actually, I want to come some more. And they were like, you know what? We love you at 6-6. Let's go ahead and give you a 20-year extension. You'll die eventually. That's mean. I hope Bill Snyder lives forever. But, yeah.
We should just freeze him for, like, 4 decades and wake him up and have him coach a college football game and see what happens.
I think that he's waiting to, you know, like in Futurama, that old professor that's in that like little glass head case.
Yeah.
I think he's just praying eventually he'll coach until that's a thing. And then he just, boom, goes in there and coaches forever.
They just like screw his head onto somebody's body and boom, now he's the head coach of Kansas State forever. Destined for mediocrity.
Yeah, it'll be like this weird thing where it's like, why is Bill Snyder's head on Terry Crews' body?
Just shaking his nipples on the sideline.
Next up. Some people might say this is the game of the week of the Big 12, but we all know that the real game of the week is going to be in Lubbock. But this does have a lot of Big 12 championship implications. Personally, I think the winner of this game is going to probably go to the Big 12 championship game. But I will say the loser of this game damn sure ain't going to the college football playoff. We know that for sure. But it is West Virginia at Texas. Who you got in this one?
I think this is one of the more intriguing games in college football this weekend. You're right. The winner has a good chance of being in the Big 12 championship. The loser can pretty much shut down their season. So it's high risk, high reward in this game. This is a tough one for me. This is really tough because last week I came out and said, Texas, this is the week Texas just demolishes somebody and looks really good.
Dummy.
They made me look like an idiot. So you know what, Texas? I'm not picking you this weekend. You made me look stupid, which probably means Texas is going to win, but I'm going to stick to my guns. West Virginia. I like West Virginia in this one. I think their offense is just really high-powered. I don't know if Texas can slow down Will Grier enough. I think they'll hang around in this game, but ultimately I think West Virginia wins 38-30.
So West Virginia hasn't looked like themselves for 3 weeks. They looked great in the first half against Tech, but in the second half they kind of got brought back down to earth and almost let Jet Duffy come all the way back against them. Then they played Kansas, and they won that game by 21, but you beat Kansas by 21, and you're supposed to be a top 15 team. That's not good. And then the next week they finally took that L to Iowa State?
Mm-hmm.
To Iowa State, yeah. They finally lost the game. They got upset. And they fell out the ranks of the unbeaten. And they got beat pretty good, too. Then they played Baylor and looked like their normal, dominant, Will Grier Heisman-looking self. And so now it was Baylor. So you kind of look at it and say, but they forced a quarterback to go 1-for-8 and 3 picks. So a part of me thinks that, okay, well, maybe West Virginia is back. Like, so this is very big, I think, for both teams because – this is going to kind of a way to gauge both teams and how well they're going to be. I think this falls a lot on Will Grier. If he looks like a Heisman candidate, like he's looked in 5 of the 8 games so far this year, if he looks like that again, West Virginia is going to win, no doubt about it. If he doesn't, they're probably going to lose. I think Todd Orlando is going to get Texas defense ready and pumped to play. But the question is how much are they going to slow them down by? West Virginia's defense isn't great, but they're decent. I have them ranked as probably the 4th or 5th best defense in the Big 12. But they're at their best when they're forcing turnovers and they're getting after the quarterback. Now, Sam Ehlinger is also a dual threat. He's a lot like Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy gave West Virginia fits. So it does make me worry if Sam Ehlinger can do the same thing. But I will say, if they force Sam Ehlinger 2 turnovers, West Virginia's going to win the game. So I'm going to go ahead and say West Virginia wins it also. I'm going to go ahead and say let's go ahead and give this one a 42-32 game.
And the last thing I want to say here is I think Texas is just as talented as West Virginia. I just don't trust them as much as I trust West Virginia.
Yeah, I'd say that. I think Texas' defense is a little bit better than West Virginia's, but I think West Virginia's offense is a lot better than Texas', and that's kind of where I'm going from in there. So, and last but not least, the thriller in Manila, the rumble in the jungle, the scrub in the hub.
Oh, that's party on the prairie.
No, that sucks. The scrub in the hub.
Wow.
Okay. and the scrub, hopefully being the Oklahoma Sooners. What do you think about this game in what you call the party in the prairie?
The party in the prairie is going to go down at nighttime, unlike all those other chumps that play at 11 o'clock and 1:30. It's happening in the Jones, 6 o'clock, night game, primetime television. I'm pumped for this because I don't have to watch it on some crappy streaming service. It's on ABC. So that'll be nice.
Not your fault for living in Colorado.
Kind of. Anyways, I really want to be a Tech homer and pick Tech in this game, but I don't think I'm going to. Kyler Murray scares the living crap out of me. That dude is electric. He's the best quarterback we're going to face all year. He's arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and it's going to be close. I think it being at home in the Jones keeps it close. I think our defense rises to the occasion to make it a game. I think Kyler Murray's not going to put up Heisman numbers, but he's going to have a good game. And I think in the end, they're going to pull it out. I expect it to be pretty high scoring, something along the lines of 45-48, last-minute field goal. It's going to be a nail-biter.
How dare you? How dare you? Oklahoma is going to come into Texas Tech, okay? We Texas Tech, we have the night game, we have the home game, all going in our favor. It's going to be a blackout, and it's Halloween. Halloween just happened. People are going to have their masks on. We're going to be throwing tortillas. We're going to be just, it's going to be, we have an improved defense. We have Dakota Allen, who's just celebrating his birthday, all right? So he's going to be pumped to hype up his birthday. And they spent the whole week talking about, oh, well, Baker Mayfield scored 7 touchdowns on you, and Joe Mixon had almost 500 yards of total offense. Deshaun Johnson and Jordan Brooks have heard that all week. And you mean to tell me that you think that the Oklahoma Sooners are going to come in our house and just put up a W? You're probably right.
I had a feeling that was where this was all going.
You're probably right. Oklahoma's very talented. They're a beast of a team. I look, I'm a Ruffin McNeil believer. I think he's going to have their defense ready to play. Bowman does scare me a little bit. I do think he's going to have a much better game than Iowa State, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to go out there playing like he did against Kansas or like he did against Houston. I think he's going to be stopped a few times. And I do think it's going to be a close game, though. It's going to be blackouts and never blowouts. I will say that. Blackouts and never blowouts. It's always a close game. It's always a battle. It's always something that comes down to the wire. It's always a flipping TCU toe tap away. And it'll be whoever has the ball last wins the game. I just think Kyler Murray will have the ball last. I'm going to go ahead and say this game is going to be Oklahoma 38-34.
Yeah. It's going to be a close one. I hope that both of us are wrong, but I don't think we are.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I honestly think that Tech will win one of the two home games between Oklahoma and Texas. So I kind of already played my hand. I've already kind of told everyone who I think is going to win next week's game against Texas. But Oklahoma's probably going to win the Big 12. They've looked like the best team in the Big 12 all year. I mean, the only slip up they've had is against when their defense decided not to show up and then they lost to Texas and they still put up 45 points against a pretty decent defense in Texas defense. And now we have Ruffin McNeil's defense. So, I mean, who knows? Ruffin McNeil would have coached that game. Oklahoma might still be looking at an undefeated record. So, Oklahoma right now, they know that the national championship is still in front of them. Well, the game at least. They're not going to win because Alabama's still here. But they know that at least that the chance to get to the Oklahoma the national championship game is still in front of them. They just got to take care of business. And unfortunately, Texas Tech is one of the business they got to take care of. And I also don't think there's going to be a situation where we are overlooked. One thing is we're never overlooked by Oklahoma because I know they don't like to admit it, but they hate us. And so they don't overlook us, and they're not gonna, and nobody ever overlooks in that game of the Jones. You're an idiot if you do. You know, you're not a good coach if your team overlooks it at any game at nighttime in the Jones. So, yeah, you know, 38-34 is where I'm going. But I do think that this surprisingly may be the biggest test that Kyler Murray has faced this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I don't know. Something about this, Oklahoma probably has the most to play for of any team in the Big 12. Their college national championship hopes are still alive. They're very much in the Big 12 title game right now. So they're highly motivated coming into Lubbock.
So over under how many fan complaints we're going to get after this game?
Like verbal complaints, Twitter complaints, personal phone calls.
I'm talking about official complaints. How many times do you think we're going to get, it won't come from Lincoln Riley, because I think he'll you know, be like, oh, you know, that's just a passion of Texas Tech fans. You know, he's still a Red Raider at heart, as is Ruffin McNeil. But it'll probably be like Kyler saying, man, they threw batteries at me. or Hollywood Brown being like, you know the names? They insulted my mother.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the rowdiest games in the Jones in the last 5 years. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I want to see if Generation Z, is that what they're calling Gen Z? Is that what they're being called now?
I think so.
Gen Z, if they can bring it like we did, okay? For one, any older person that's listening to the podcast, they are not millennials. Millennials have graduated and moved on. They won the millennials. Stadium. Yes, we are millennials. Us alumni, we've joined you now. Millennial alumni, the alumni group that's on the other end acting civilly, they are also millennials. The ones that are acting all rowdy and possibly throwing things they shouldn't be throwing are going to be Gen Z. Let's all say it together, Gen Z. All right? So will Gen Z bring like the millennials did of yesteryear? That's what I'm curious to see. I think they will. But this, like you said, this is going to be their first really big game in Lubbock since the 2016 game when the last of the millennials graduated or were graduating. So let's see if they bring it.
Half of our fan base just tuned out because we admitted to being millennials.
No, that's not millennials. Dude, okay, and I'm sick of this because I always see it on, like, Twitter and stuff, right? Millennials are old now, okay? Maybe not old, but we're in our 20s and our 30s, okay? We're damn near almost 40 now, all right? Like, that's where the millennials – I have millennials, if Ryan, the old producer of this podcast, used to always talk crap about millennials. I told him every time, dude, you're a millennial. I think he's like 35, 36, something like that. Like, you are a millennial, all right? I know you like to say that you are, but, you know, I'm an old soul. I don't give a crap, all right? 35, 36, 37, y'all are millennials, all right? So millennials, 20s and 30s are millennials. If you listen to your local sports radio and they're not old farts, they're probably millennials.
Get over it, people.
Get over it, okay? We're so, millennials are so grown that we're actually voting, all right? So
maybe not for who they want us to be voting for, but
probably not, you know, but you know, no, there's a good amount of conservative millennials.
I don't know. Let's not talk politics.
You know, but anyways, Dylan, what you got to tell the people?
Okay. So everyone knows the swaggiest punter in the NFL, Marquette King. Well, I found an equally as swaggy punter. He punts for UCF. And his name is Mac Loudermilk. What a name. What a football name. Anyways, do yourself a favor. Go and Google Mac Loudermilk. You'll be thanking me for it.
That's a pretty good name. That is a pretty good name. Pretty good last name, anyway. If only he had the best first name in the game. As you know, that goes to my man, wide receiver for the Texas Longhorns, Lil Jordan Humphrey. He has the best first name in the game. Shout out to Mama Humphrey. My big thing is a couple articles that were just posted. Do a little self-promo. The Big 12 Power Rankings were put out where we all got to laugh at TCU losing to Kansas. And then also, as we've all been talking about, we've revisited Mayfield and Mahomes. Everybody has. ESPN has. Fox has. We put out an article today that is not only on the Viva site, but also on SB Nation about revisiting that game and how Baker Mayfield went crazy, Pat Mahomes went crazy, Joe Mixon went crazy, Dede Westbrook went crazy, Kiki Kuti went crazy. Hell, actually, Jonathan Giles also went crazy. I didn't really mention that much in the article, but he did. But it's a good read. And, you know, kind of takes it back. That's the last time the Sooners came into Lubbock. It's the last time Mahomes and Mayfield played. There won't be as much just vengeance between the two as it was last time, but this game is still going to be a grandioso matchup. Dylan, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Before I give out my Twitter, you just reminded me. We talked about the game. It's not going to be Mayfield versus Mahomes, but if you do want that game, it's taking place on Sunday. Cleveland versus the Chiefs. Anyways, you can find me at DYLAN, Dylan Smythe, 92, Twitter. Let's do it.
Yeah, I was going to actually put that game in the pick 'em, but that's really not fair. I mean, like, the Browns are going to get their asses.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, because now Mahomes has the better team.
Yeah, exactly.
By a mile. Yeah.
And it's very funny listening to Oklahoma fans be like, well, you know, Baker has the worst team played for the Browns. Well, we had, like, the worst defense in the arguably in the history of football. So, you know, our best player was a freshman. You know, yeah. So, anyways, you can find me at Mr. _ Albie Shore. And as always, stay rowdy this Saturday against Oklahoma. If you're going to the game, make sure that it is packed out. If you're going to leave at halftime and drink, just make sure you make it back before the second half. I'm not against you getting turned at halftime. I don't care. Just make it back, all right? Because the second half is going to be just as lit as the first. As always, stay wrecked, people.